That is pretty catchy. That is kind of an earworm. Livingston on Radio 3, new music-ish, and Shadow. So, yeah, Live Tickets. Who is the... It's not Greg Norman, all right? It was, but it's not. Who is the CEO of Live Golf? Radio 3 at rthk.hk, and I'll do a draw at the end of the programme, and you can win yourself a set of tickets Friday, Saturday and Sunday. In the meantime, let's whiz over to Australia and say hi to Maurice Misolowski. How are you?
Yeah, good, good. Happy Tuesday, everyone.
Happy Tuesday, Maurice. Good to be back with you. Fascinating article on your blog all about one of the greatest missed opportunities of our lifetime, I think.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, most of us have used it in some way or other at some time over the last 21 years. And what we're talking about is Skype.
Yeah.
Good old S-K-Y-P-E.
I wouldn't have thought of that either until you mentioned it. It's a brilliant article, morrisfuturist.com. Go to the blog. But here was the brand leader, Maurice. You take it away from there.
Well, it was, but you know, it's had a really interesting history. I mean, most people would be aware of it if they haven't used it. And as I said, most of us have used it at least once, and if not, many, many more times. Started in 2004, which is how it got to be 21 years old today. And it finishes life on the 5th of May this year. Microsoft has said that they are shuttering it, closing it. Goodbye, see you later.
Mm.
But in those 21 years, many of us have forgotten, it actually had a tumultuous life.
It
started in 2004, as I said. It was developed in Estonia, of all places, by two gentlemen that came up with something. It's one of these things where we sit in our time and our place, and we really can't imagine a place and time where this thing didn't exist, like television, radio and the rest. It must have always been here, but it wasn't. Prior to Skype, you and I being able to see each other for cheap or free and being able to do it in a sustained way was relatively unheard of. There weren't many programs around that could do it at all or could do it as well, because we take for granted there are things like latency. Remember, we're talking about really, really old, almost dial-up days, 2004.
Latency meaning delay, which we still suffer from sometimes.
Exactly. You know, that thing about where you saw somebody, they froze on the screen and you waited for that, you know, with bated breath for them to come back on and say something. We were talking about those days when it was really difficult to get a really crystal clear image from one place to another, let alone sustained with conversation. And these guys figured out how to do it. It was one of the holy grails. It was when we began to see for the first time, YouTube was just around. I mean, it was around, but just starting to. Remember, that was video and that was contained and you looked it up. Somebody done it before, pre-recorded.
Yeah.
So we were just getting used to this whole visual medium, and all of a sudden we could be part of that. We could show ourselves to other people. It took off like wildfire. Many people began to use it. Remembering again that there weren't that many PCs, lots of PCs, but not many people had them at home, internet, all that kind of stuff was still a bit foreign and unusual for many, many people. That's the world that this thing grew up in.
Yeah.
And it was sold. This is the interesting thing. I won't quiz you, but it was sold 6 years later in 2010 to a company that we've all heard of, who I'm sure everybody's going to say, well, why? eBay bought it.
Oh, yeah.
eBay bought this thing for $2.5 billion 6 years later, so 2010, because why? I can't answer, Phil. Neither can they. They thought, I remember at the time wondering what they were going to do with it.
And is this one of the great business goofs, Maurice, do you think?
Yeah, pretty much, because it gets worse. So they bought it. They spent $2.5 billion buying this thing because they thought, I mean, we don't know because no one's ever really succinctly said why, but what we understand is they thought they could sell stuff through it. So visual shops, you know, shopkeepers, that kind of, it's as vague and as silly as that. There was absolutely nothing on this except for the fact that Skype was becoming really well known. People were using it and they were hoping it would drive traffic if you got Skype, a bit like Prime does now. They have television so that you can stay with their shopping. It was that kind of play.
And it never crossed their mind it could be a crisis communicator.
It didn't work for them. They actually took $2.5 billion off their books a couple of years later. In other words, they wrote off some of it because they just couldn't make it work. They couldn't make a quid out of it. They wondered why they got themselves into it.
Yeah.
And then along came Microsoft. Remember, this thing was hemorrhaging already.
Mm-hmm.
It was almost going to shutter. Skype was being used, but it was one of those really interesting things where you see quite often it's a great product but a terrible business product. People just weren't used to paying for it. This was free, and they couldn't get enough people to subscribe with payment to want to make this thing work. So for whatever reason, and the reason was because Microsoft saw purpose in it, they came along only 2 years later and they bought this thing, not at a discount price. Remember, eBay paid $2.5 billion and wrote off half of that straight after, Microsoft ponied up $8 billion in 2011.
It's crazy, isn't it? I mean, that's just unthinkable amounts of money. And take us
unthinkable.
Forward.
So in 2011, they bought this thing and they were going to turn it into a business model. We all got really disappointed because they said we're going to have to start paying for it, which, of course, because we've lived through it, we know many of us never did because we didn't have to. There was enough free stuff in it that made us happy. We didn't have to worry about the enterprise version of it. So they kind of just let it rock and roll for a while.
Yeah.
And it comes now to languishing. Really, why and what do we use it for? And I do distinctly remember, I think even we had this conversation.
Probably.
When this thing of COVID coming along, wondering COVID. Why. Well, I've got to find some fancy name because I'm sick of saying it the other
way.
Yeah,
why not?
So I remember thinking at the time that this would be an incredible Skype opportunity because we're stuck in our homes. We should be reaching out. Skype should be everywhere. And, of course, it wasn't. We learnt about this new thing called Zoom.
And you know what Zoom did off the bat? I know zero about their business background or anything. What they did off the bat is they made the audio and the video much better.
Oh, much, extremely. And they also had the ability to be able to put lots more people on, which is one of the reasons, for the reason you've just said, because it was easy to use, didn't really require much. Remember, most people, especially with Zoom, had never touched it before COVID, never. And they had no intentions of ever touching it in their life.
Yeah.
But it was easy enough for everybody, including the novice, to be able to get on and use with just a little bit of a nudge.
You know, there's another thing here. So we are talking, Morris is in St Kilda, obviously, in Aussie. We are talking on a VoIP, a voice over internet protocol, a kind of a fancy one. But the quality of Zoom as a VoIP is nearly as good as you are now. That's where they that's where they scored, isn't it?
They did. And also because they were able to scale. So what they were able to do, whereas Skype, which never really had a show in this, I mean, I never remember anyone ever asking to meet on Skype, even from day one.
Yeah.
But what Skype had was the narrowness. In other words, you could only have, and I know this doesn't sound like much, but you only have 300 people at once on it. And this was when lots of people, we were stuck in our homes, one of the things we thought we wanted was a way to get to thousands of people, now tens of thousands of people, and see all these little Brady Bunch squares on a television screen.
Yeah.
That's where Zoom came in really easily and swiftly and nicely. It automatically allowed you to, and Skype did not. This was automatic. It was sweet out of the box. You could see every relative you'd never seen before and only hated if you did on a screen and converse with them ongoing. And that was really, for me, that was the death knell of Skype. What was the purpose of it after that? There wasn't before, but after that, certainly not.
This is a, I don't know what the word is for this, but this is one of those things that, you know, its product name becomes like Google. We Google people, you know.
And Xerox and Kleenex.
Absolutely. And there are, it's quite fun thinking of brands that, you know, technology or whatever has taken care of. I mean, who remembers the Kodak building? I don't even know if it's still
called that. And the Kodak
moment. In Hong Kong. It was a great big Kodak thing on the wall down there. But I mean, we're talking about the demise of Skype. Do you think they sort of saw something brilliant coming their way and they just put their hands up and said, we give up?
Yes and no. I mean, Skype really doesn't mean anything to Microsoft anymore. Remembering that it doesn't make any money. It's got about 36 million users per month, which is negligible. And that's really just a dawdle. And for them, their moneymaker, I mean, their big moneymaker is Teams, which has this ability, not Skype, but Skype better, a Zoom equivalent built into it.
I've only used it a little, Morris. Do you like that one?
The Teams one?
Yeah.
I don't mind it. It's not my favourite. But having said that, it has been sold into a lot of institutions and a lot of corporates.
Oh, yes.
They literally have sold it in and there is little choice. So you're finding, like Windows, I mean, really followed the Windows trajectory. If you've got it, you have to use it and you have to like it because there's no choice. I'm kind of in that vein.
Mm.
But I must say, I still prefer Zoom.
Do you know what another thing they did? They realised that people wanted to communicate in different ways, and sometimes they wanted to play music to each other and do these virtual choirs like Eric Whittaker did all over the world. And they needed pretty much low latency on that, and they discovered this thing called actual sound. And they just took care of, they stayed ahead of their users, didn't they?
They did, and Zoom got really excited really quickly when they saw their user base increase from nothing to something, and they began, as you've said, to put all sorts of features in. So we quickly got a whiteboard, we quickly got ways to share things, to share screens, people could take over, you know, I could talk, then you could talk, we could show things, we could show our desktop, we can do all kinds of things, and it just became something that was relatively easy to use.
Yeah.
I remember sitting through concerts on it. I know they're not to your level, or perhaps liking, but I actually enjoyed the concert. There was kind of a community feel around this Zoom,
well,
like sitting around the campfire.
That's important too.
And
I think they just said, well, if people are going to do this, we've got to make it really good. We can't just sit on our laurels.
Yeah, and remember, again, it comes back to money. Zoom had a lot of money because people were not getting it necessarily for free. You could. There was a 40-minute version, so watching it was okay, but producing stuff out of it meant that you paid, and lots of people did. They made a squillion. And to their power to them, they put a lot of that back into development and giving us a better product.
A lot of detail in Morris's article, morrisfuturist.com. Go to the blog bit, and very clever. The Skype is falling. Look, let's generalise here to get to the end of our bit today. What does this say about the nature of disruption in the future?
Look, it says, as we have always known, that just because a brand exists, because we think it's the bee's knees, to use an old-fashioned term, it doesn't mean that it's going to continue on. You've given us examples of that, the Kodak, the BlackBerry, MySpace, Blockbuster. There are lots of brands which are the Nokia. I mean, everyone had a Nokia. They exist, but they've just fallen out of favour. What we have to do now, because we do have evolution, because we have quicker terms than we ever did before. A product, if it was good, kind of stuck around for 10, 15 years. When I started my practice in the 80s, we talked about generational change, literally, for products. It took 20, 25 years. Nowadays, it literally can take a minute for a product to die and another one to be birthed. We've seen that in ChatGPT. We've seen that in all kinds of products that just didn't exist yesterday, do today.
Is it better to be at the very forefront of something, or is it better to wait your turn and jump in with your brilliant idea when it's evolved a little? You talk about ChatGPT.
It's a question corporates ask me often, and it comes really down to what type of corporate you are. If you're a corporate which is 90%, or this goes for people too, I think, if you're one of those 90%, the vast majority of people need some kind of proof.
Right.
There's no purpose or need for them to jump in and to be the first and to try it and to make mistakes. They'd rather watch somebody else and then get in later. It really does depend. Some companies are first to market. That's who they are. That's what they are. That's what they want to be.
Yeah.
They have to be. Most, as I said, 90% of companies are not, and that's not a negative, it's a positive. We'll say, look, let somebody else just take the first reins of it. Let's see if it works. Let's take all the bugs out, and then we'll jump in.
It's interesting. I mean, when you think of what people had to do during COVID, the world over, and Zoom came in, and they started to really think about their users. And Skype continued to just not let you do some things.
Yeah.
Is it just that they went, yeah, whatever?
Yeah.
I mean, things like having a load of junk on the screen when you wanted a clear screen for doing a stream for Facebook Live, for instance.
Yeah, it really was like they put their hands in the air and they don't care.
Yes.
But it was, especially when they began to realise that Teams was the cash cow for them.
Ah,
and
that
was the big turning point for them, that it really meant that if they were going to, and they did, even though it didn't appear, they had to put money into Skype. There were people who were sitting there behind the scenes who were programming. There were offices. There were all kinds of money being spent on this product that really didn't make them a lot when they had a better version of it bundled into something they were making a squillion of. So slowly they just began to taking funds out of it, take interest out of it, and now they've just said, look, enough is enough. We're going to tear the Band-Aid off.
Well,
it's gone, it's finished.
The ship has sailed, has it? Do you think this is a great example of not realising that your product could become the next best thing since sliced bread? You just didn't realise it was going to happen.
Yeah. And I don't think that they really understood, but nobody did. That's why I gave you that history of it. Nobody really understood this wonderful product that really was an incredible change in the way we communicate as humans. Nobody could turn it into a business until Zoom came along. There were others along the way, but Zoom was really the one who took it and turned it into money by just changing the way we interacted with it and telling us from day one that this thing costs money.
Was there another brand that you can think of that became stratospheric because of COVID? I can't think of anything that's not a drug, for instance, or a jab, but something like this.
I can't offhand, but there must have been. There definitely must have been.
Because was the one thing during COVID? Communication.
It was Zoom, hands down. Hands down, Zoom was it.
I mean, people wanted to talk to their mates and various places like where you were. It was quite heavy duty, wasn't it?
It was, and it was oxygen. It really was, because for a long time we were stuck at home. We couldn't see the world. We weren't allowed to interact with the world. And the only way we could do it was through a screen. We needed something we thought was robust. We needed something that worked on every piece of equipment that most people could use.
Yeah.
We needed something that, I mean, my favourite term is it was cockroach-proof. I love that term. Meaning that you could do, you know, it just couldn't die. Everybody could use it one way or another, as long as you get on a bit of internet. And it kind of, in many ways, this is melodramatic, kind of saved humanity. I mean humanity as in people-to-people contact.
Imagine being locked up. I mean, here, there was a time in Hong Kong when people were locked up in hotel rooms for 3 weeks. That must have saved
exactly.
Them.
So nuts. It kind of saved people, a lot of people's sanity and humanity by using this little piece of equipment. Again, that's to Zoom's betterment. It kind of was the death knell for Skype. And as we said, May 5th, it's gone.
Yeah, it's gone Netscape, hasn't it?
It has.
There's another one. I mean, they were the first out of the gates, weren't they? And I suppose it was fair to say they were going to fizzle out, but, you know.
Well, AOL was a big one too at the time, if you remember. AOL is a predecessor to the email services. It was American-based.
Yeah.
But it was for about 5 years, maybe longer, maybe even 10 years. It was, again, that bee's knees. It was a default way that many Americans, again, they drive most of the traffic and most of the subscriptions. Americans used that internet space, that email space, I should say.
Yeah. Well, there you go. The Skype has fallen. That was fascinating. I wouldn't have thought about this unless you brought it up. MorrisFuturist.com. And go to his blog. Cheers, Morris. Brilliant. I'll talk to you next week.
Cheers, have a great week.
You too. Fantastic.